Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. Whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words, does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we reach the midpoint of the Easter season. Might seem we've been in the Easter season for a while. Might seem that Pentecost is right around the corner, but today, Wednesday of the fourth week, is right the heart of the Easter season. And there's a pivot in what happens. Up until now, we've had Jesus' appearances, his words about baptism, his words about the Holy Eucharist, his words about how he wishes to relate to us as our Good Shepherd. Today, the Church has us focus on the response we need to give to Jesus. To relate to him as the Word of the Father, the one who has come into the world precisely to be the light, to share with us God's Word, to show us the path to the Father, and to choose him according to that path. Today in the first reading, we see what happened with the early church. Saul and Barnabas were doing such incredible work there in Antioch. But then God the Holy Spirit spoke, "Set apart for me, consecrate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Little did they know that Saul and Barnabas' life would change totally, that they'd really never have them there again, except for some quick visits. Little did they know that the history of the church would change by this action, and all they were doing was cooperating with prayer. Little did anyone grasp that what was happening on that day was going to dramatically change the history of the world. All they knew is that they had discerned in prayer that God was asking for Paul and Barnabas to be set aside for the work that he had prepared for them. And so they fasted and prayed for Paul and Barnabas. They laid hands on them and they sent them off. And hence we begin St. Paul's famous first missionary journey. They were ones who were looking at Jesus as their light to illumine them, even in prayer, and the Holy Spirit came as that bonfire. They were the ones who were hearing his voice as words to be done. They recognized that commands, imperatives like this, were eternal life, not just for them, but for the world. And they had come to become the echo of the Good Shepherd's voice, calling people ultimately to salvation. Today the church celebrates Saint Isidore the Farmer, and we have to celebrate it because of Sister Maria Christina, but also because he likewise is marked here in the United States as the patron saint of all those involved in rural work. And in Manhattan, sometimes we can forget that most of the country is rural. He shows us how to walk in the light of the Lord throughout the day, to seek to hear his voice and to act on it, and more than that, to do everything together with the Lord in response to his action. Saint Isidore worked for a very wealthy landowner in Madrid, but he wanted to start every day earlier than we do with Mass. But the other workers complained, even though he accomplished far more work over the course of a day. He would always show up later than they because he started with the Lord. And so hearing the complaints, Juan de la Varga, his employer, went on out to see whether there was a real issue. And the first time he looked, Isidore was there kneeling in the fields rather than working. But then he was able to see that Isidore's guardian angel was doing the work that Isidore would ordinarily have been required to do. Then another time when he looked out, he saw Isidore and his angel working together, which is one of the reasons why there was such incredible productivity. What do we learn in this miraculous scene? That we're never called to work alone. That when we begin, like Isidore, with the Lord here, hearing his voice, seeing his image, it's supposed to impact the whole way we go about our duties. And we're never doing it solo. Isidore also deserves to be celebrated because he's one of the most famous married saints of all time. Married Santa Maria, Blessed Maria Toribia, who's famously known as Maria of the Head, because her head used to be carried in procession after a beatification order to bring rain down on fields. But together they lived a beautiful marriage in which they inspired each other toward great sanctity. So much of the work that is done is precisely to contribute to the work of the family. And today is the International Day of the Family. It's a day in which we, through their intercession, can pray for all homes. One of the reasons why I love Saint Isidore, though, is because he's an answer to one of the greatest trivia questions in church history. The most famous canonization of all time happened March 12, 1622. In which the famous joke said by the Italians is, they canonized four Spaniards and a saint. Spaniards were Ignatius, Francis Xavier, Teresa of Avila, and Isidore. That's the esteem, frankly, in which he was held. His greatness, and of course the saint, according to the Italiani, was Philip Neri. What an incredible day in which we see, basically, two great saints of prayer, two great foundresses, founder and foundress, an extraordinary missionary, the patron saint of the new evangelization, and we could say the patron saint of joy, and likewise, a patron of ordinary work and a patron of marriage. Today, we recognize that when we come here early, like Saint Isidore used to go to Mass, that the same Holy Spirit who was present in Antioch is present here. God wants us set aside, literally consecrated, for the work that he has prepared for us. And we receive Jesus' strength in the inside so that we might work with him all day long It says chief collaborators with sleeves uprolled in the vineyard. Conscious too that the Holy Spirit is coming to send us. So that even though we won't go to Seleucia and Cyprus and Salamis, we'll go to the various places in Manhattan so that others might come in us to see Jesus' image, to hear Jesus' voice, to see the reflection of Jesus' light, and to come, we pray, to his promise of salvation.